Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you all for joining us today to analyze the Piaggio first half 2016 financial results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Pallaninho, Piaggio Group Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Gabriele Galli, Piaggio Group General Finance Manager. During today's conference call, we will use the presentation you can download from our website under the link Investors. Before going ahead, as usual, I remind you that during today's conference call, we may use forward-looking statements that are subject to risks that can cause actual results to be materially different. Now I'm glad to hand over the conference call to Mr. Gabriele Galli.
Good afternoon to everybody. Let's start from slide two. Basically, the European market started to show some replacement cycle early signs, which were offset by some emergency in other key markets. The Europe two-wheel market grew by around 3%. The performance of bikes was very good, up by 8.5%, while the scooter market was a little bit down by 0.9%, but with an acceleration compared to Q1. Asia-Pacific was weak. Indonesia was very critical, -40%. Vietnam was up by 4%, resuming a mild growth. The demand for three-wheeler vehicle in India worsened throughout the semester and was at the end down by 3% versus previous year. The four-wheeler market went on slumping double-digit. The scooter market showed a very good momentum. Moving to Piaggio from the market, our Western country had a good performance, also supported by the improving market scenario. We have been confirming our strong competitive positioning, maintaining the leadership in the total two-wheeler market, and keeping over 12 points of market share on the closest competitor. The MP3 performed very well, with volume and revenue up double digits. The performance in bikes accelerated, also boosted by new launches of Aprilia and Moto Guzzi. The spare parts and accessory market grew double digit, confirming that they are a key lever for forthcoming profitability. In terms of overall price, the average went up, showing that we are going on with our focus on high-value segments and firm price policy. As a total result, in Western countries, the revenues went up single digit, with some countries performing with a significant growth, U.K., Germany in particular. Also, performance in Italy was good. Benelux was up double digits. France was lagging behind, still affected by a negative market, although there were some first signals of improvement. In Asia-Pacific, the market was very volatile, but we have been coping on volatility, focusing on mix. Vietnam volumes were down, but the positive mix we had and also the forex effect more than compensated the volume drop. Outside of Vietnam, all the most countries had a good performance, especially Taiwan, Malaysia, Thailand, and China. On top of this performance, of course, the overall sales and profitability have been positively affected by the forex, which, as you know very well, was very favorable compared to last year. Moving to slide number four, we can have a look at India. India, the performance was really affected by the negative domestic market trend. In terms of market share, the three, four-wheelers stood above previous year. The the resilient performance we had in the cargo and in the export segment were, in any case, unable to counterbalance the passenger negative trend, which worsened throughout the semester. Especially, there was a decrease in the market for rural areas, while the performance in the city was not so bad. And as you know, our market share is much more significant in the rural area, and so the depression of this market didn't play in favor of us. Vespa sales were slightly up, and also in India in terms of price, excluding of course of Forex, which was very positive, the average price went up. As a result, our revenues were up by 17% versus previous year, almost flat if we exclude the Forex effect. The key numbers are net sales up by around 65 million euros, meaning plus 10%, plus 2.5% at constant Forex. The EBITDA was slightly up, plus 1 million euro, and the net profit slightly down, minus 1.7 million euro. The gross margin followed basically the dynamics of Forex. There was an increase of around 10 million euro with a lower ratio on net sales. But as you can imagine, the percentage of profitability has been affected by the Forex as well. The Forex basically left us with a higher absolute profitability, but with a dilution in terms of percentage. The OPEX were higher compared to last year, and especially they've been affected by some Forex effects in India, Vietnam, and US. And on top of that, we started increasing a little bit the commercial expenses, especially in terms of marketing and communication, and in terms of racing. As you know, we entered the MotoGP, and so these are the, a negative contribution in terms of total OPEX. In terms of financial expenses, we benefited from the operations we made last year in terms of bond refinancing and revolving credit facility refinancing. And so we had a decrease of around 5 million euros compared to 2014. Out of these 5 million euros, some were recurring and some one-off saving. The capex increased to around 43 million euros, plus 5 million versus the previous year. The net debt was decreasing compared to Q1, but higher compared to last year, and the main items, as we will see, were the slight increase in working capital and some higher capex, and compared to last year, we had the dividend distribution. The debt profile was preserved with an average debt life of around 4 years and an ample liquidity backup. Moving to slide number 5, we can have a look at the P&L. So as we said before, revenues plus 10%, plus 2.5% at constant Forex. Gross margin plus 5%, plus 1.5% at constant Forex. And you can see the dilution, which was around 1.4 percentage point. The, I would say, 100% explanation of that is the Forex. If you take, for example, the P&L of 2014 and you perform it with the Forex as of today, you will notice that the dilution in terms of percentage of gross margin to sales is around 1.4 percentage points. So, there wasn't any change in pricing policy, any change in cost policy. The only difference is the Forex, which in total absolute values gave a positive contribution, but in terms of ratio to sales was performing with a dilutive effect. And this dilutive effect basically will affect all the other ratios, such as EBITDA ratios, EBIT ratio, and net income ratio. Moving down, we can see the EBITDA higher by 1 million euro versus 2015. As we said before, the partially increased gross margin by 10 million euro was absorbed by 9 million euro higher cash OPEX. That is the second important line of this profit and loss, which is the depreciation, which shows a significant increase compared to previous year. Previous year depreciation was 43 million, this year depreciation is 52. So we have an increase of around 9.2 million euro. Going on in the second semester, the difference should be reduced because, as you remember, last year the depreciation charge started to increase from July on. After this 9 million increase of depreciation, the EBIT is at 43 million euro versus 51, so 8.2 million lower than the previous year. Then we had the significant saving in terms of financial expenses, recurring and not recurring. As you remember, last year we had the buyback of the bond, which affected the P&L by 2.9 million euro at the EBT level. So the net income is at 24.6 versus 27.5 last year. Then the tax rate is very much aligned to last year at 40%, giving a net income of 14.8 versus 16.5 last year. In terms of net financial position, we ended up at 535 million euros versus 492.8 as of 1st of January this year. Moving to slide number 6, we can have a look at the volumes. Total volume were down by around 3.2% from 278 to 269. We lost basically 4.2% volume in Western countries. We had a negative performance in Western countries, especially in some importers' market, such as Austria and Switzerland, while the performance was very good in markets such as UK, going up by 15.7%, Benelux going up by 12%, and also positive in Spain, Germany, and Italy. Moving to Asia-Pacific, the total performance in terms of volume was minus 3.8%, basically, we lost around 1.6 thousand units, with, let's say, bad performance in Vietnam and Indonesia. Vietnam because of increased competitive pressure, Indonesia because of the strong decrease of the market, and with a very good performance in countries such as Thailand, Taiwan, and Malaysia, increasing double or triple digits. India two-wheeler increased by around 11%. Western country commercial vehicles increased by around 52%, also thanks to the commercialization of products manufactured in India, in countries of Latin America and North Africa. And India commercial vehicle was down by around 6 percentage points, and this was basically due to the market contraction very severe in the second quarter. Moving from volumes to revenues, so slide number 7, you can appreciate the significant significant improvement in terms of values compared to volumes. So Western country, we said before, was up by 4.2% in terms of volume. In terms of value, it's up by around 5.2 percentage points. Out of these 5 percentage points, 2 percentage points is Forex, namely British pound and the US dollar. The other, let's say, 7.2 percentage point improvement versus volumes, going down by 4.2, is mix and price. Asia Pacific was down in terms of volume by 3.8, in terms of value is up by 19.4, and also excluding the forex effect would be up by 2.8 percentage point, again proving the discipline in pricing and the focus on the mix. India two-wheeler was up by 35.9, which would be 14.4 excluding forex, versus plus 11% in volume. Commercial vehicle Western country was up by 19.6. We said before that we started exporting in Latin America and Africa some vehicle manufactured in India, and so of course this reduce a little bit the average price, but boosts the profitability. India commercial vehicle was up by 15.5%, could be minus 3.1, excluding forex, versus volume down 6.1 in the same period. In total, the value were up by 10.3% versus 2.5% excluding forex. And of course, the main currencies affecting positively the revenues are especially Indian rupees, improving the P&L by 24 million euro, the US dollar by 14.4 million euro, and then Vietnamese dong and British pound. Moving to slide number 8, we can have a look at the performance by product family. The scooters were up by around 4%. The motorbikes were up by around 24%, benefiting of the new product entry of motorbikes in Aprilia and Moto Guzzi brands. The commercial vehicle were up by around 16.4%, while spares and accessories were up by 12.2%. Moving to slide number 9, we can have a look at the evolution of EBITDA. Last year we had 94 million euro. The increase in sales and the proportional gross margin gave a benefit of around 22 million euro, but then we had some increase in purchasing cost for some components imported, which we buy in renminbi or in dollar, which gave a negative effect at the level of gross margin of around 9 million euro. The net effect is an improvement of cash gross margin of around 12.5 million euro. Then we had an increase in OPEX by around 11.5 million euro, mainly due to the forex effect in countries with the P&L named in US dollar linked currencies, and in some increase in communication and racing activities. The total EBITDA was at 95 million euro, 1 million higher compared to last year. Moving to slide number 10, we can have a look at the P&L evolution. So we say last year we were at 16.5. There was an increase of 1 million euro EBITDA. then an increase in depreciation by around 9.2 million euro. Out of this 9.2 million euro, 2.5 million is explained through the forex effect, and the remaining 6.7 is new depreciation of investments made in the past years. Then we had a positive contribution of financial expenses. 2.4 are recurring, while 2.9 are one-off. As you remember, last year we had the buyback of the bond, and then a positive contribution of around 1 million euro in terms of taxes, leaving the total P&L net result at 14.8 million euros. Moving to slide number 11, we can have a look at the net financial position. We started at 492 million euro. Last year we were at 475. We had a contribution very positive in terms of operating cash flow, because last year we generated 57, this year we generated 64. So basically there is the increase of depreciation, as you saw before, giving a negative contribution at the net result level, but then looking at the cash flow, of course, we're talking about some non-monetary effects, so they don't have any contribution, and this leaves the operating result at 7 million plus versus previous year. Then we had a higher change in working capital, which last year absorbed 11 million, this year around 33. And out of this absorption, we had some higher absorption in terms of VAT, in terms of accounts receivable. We already identified action in order to discount them, also not discount, reduce them before the end of the year. Then there was a higher contribution of CapEx, absorbing 43 million versus 38 last year. And then finally, there is a difference in change in equity and other. Last year, this absorbed 4.5 million euro, this year around 30 million euro, and the difference is the dividend payment. So at the end, last year net financial position was 472, this year is 535. Moving to slide number 12, you can have a look at the single items of balance sheet. So, as we said before, trade receivable were at 158 versus 126 last year. Out of these, the forex accounts for around 7.4 million euro. The inventory are basically at the same level of last year, despite the negative contribution of forex of 9.3, so it means we have been reducing stock in absolute value before the forex effect. The commercial payable are up by 21 million euros. Out of these 21, around 17 million euros is forex effect. And then other assets and liabilities are up by 27 million euros. Out of these, around 4.3 million is forex, and the remaining part is 9 million euro of deferred tax assets, and the remaining part is VAT and custom duties, which we are going to recover in the next month. Tangible fixed and unfixed were up by around 22 million. Out of these, 17 million was exchange rate. And everything led to a chin up by around 61 million euro, financed through net debt, as we commented before, up by around 63 million euro, and equity almost at the same level of last year. In terms of ratio of net debt to equity, last year we were at 1.15, this year we are at 1.31. So we are basically done.
So we are ready for the Q&A session, and please limit the number of questions to a maximum of 3 per person, please. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by 1. To cancel reservation, dial star followed by 2. So today's question comes from Ms. Monica Bosio of Banca IMI. Ms. Bosio, please.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I would have 3 very quick questions. The first one is maybe the most important. July is usually one of the strongest months of the year for Piaggio. It accounts roughly 12%. I was wondering if you can give us some update on the market volume trend and the performance of the market, the Italian market in July, and if possible also as for the rest of Europe, as the in order to check if there is some more significant sign of recovery or replacement cycle in place. And the second question is usually on the consensus on the EBITDA. The consensus is pointing at an EBITDA for the year at around 181 million euro. I was wondering if you feel confident on this level, or you see some pressure maybe because of the forex effect as for the purchasing of components from India and APAC regions. And the very last question is regarding the Asia and Pacific markets, excluding Vietnam. The volatility is really, really high. The markets are down. I was wondering if you can give us some update on the rest of the year. Thank you.
Okay, so starting from the first question, the market in July in Europe seems to perform, I would say, well. Italy, I mean, if we imagine to trace a line to the end of the month, so I'm talking about public data as of yesterday plus some hypothesis on today, tomorrow, it seems to be high by 20% versus previous year. The bikes should be up by around 30%, and the scooters should be up by around 18%, with, of course, some negative performance of 50 cc's, so the scooters are down around 10%, and the bikes are basically flat, and a good performance on over 50 cc's. So the scooters are up by 25%, and the motorbikes are up by around 30%. In the other European countries, there is basically the trend which we saw in the first 6 months. So Spain is up, UK is up, Germany more or less up. France is still a little bit down. Moving to EBITDA consensus, what is not easy to say, of course, because I mean, forex may have an impact, market performance may have an impact. Today we see something very close to the consensus. The consensus is 180 with somebody saying 170, somebody else saying 190. We see something around 175. Then the third question is about performance in Asia. We can tell you that, I mean, Indonesia market was very tough during the first 6 months, and the trend is basically the same. Vietnamese market was increasing a little bit, but with a very fierce competition. And as we said before, we have been able to diversify and improve our presence in other countries. The other countries are Taiwan, where we almost doubled the volume. Thailand, where we have been increasing by around 14%, and Malaysia, which is a very important country in terms of motorbikes, and last year our presence was limited to some few hundred units, and this year our performance is around 2,500 units, so there was a big increase. We have a good relationship with the importer, and we are trying to build up the second Vietnam, as we discussed it during last conference call and during our strategic plan. So I would say that today, apart from Vietnam and Malaysia, the other important countries start to be Thailand, Taiwan, and Malaysia.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Baldelli of Exane BNP Paribas. Mr. Baldelli, please.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have three questions. On new models, can you elaborate the timing of the new models by geography, please, again? On OpEx, I saw that in Q2 there was a strong increase of the OpEx, that without this increase, the margin should have been almost stable. And can you elaborate how much is, let's say, some one-off costs, and how much is, let's say, step-up structural of this OpEx structure, please? Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of OpEx, we had an increase of around 5 million euros, adding up communication and racing activities. And this is due, I mean, after a very strong reduction of OpEx, I mean, as we said before, we are planning for stronger presence in the market, and we are judging this very important in order to, I mean, have a good presence in the market in the next year. As you remember, I mean, last year we had a one-off effect because we had the revaluation of the land in Spain, in Nacional Motor, and this accounted for around 5 million euros. So just adding up these two effects, we explain basically the whole difference between last year and this year. On top of that, as we have been commenting, there is also the Forex effect, which accounts for around 5-6 million euro of OpEx spent in Americas, Vietnam, and India. So it means that we have been able to recover this kind of increase in some other areas, apart from communication and racing.
If there are no other questions, we can stop now.
Yes, we have no more questions.
Okay, so I think that we can complete now the conference call. Thank you very much for attending the conference. If you need more info, as usual, you can call me today and tomorrow. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.